Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. This is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University. I am a clinical psychologist, author, and speaker. And at Love University, we talk about how to love yourself, others, and a higher nature. Think of it as an education for your own personal development. You know, in school, we don't learn these things. We learn mathematics and science and other things. But to really be happy in life, to have great relationships, that's stuff that we don't learn in school. But in this university, we do learn that. And today, I'm very happy to be talking about a very practical and useful topic. And it is called The Joy of Practical Optimism. Be the best that you can be. Now, we hear a lot about the word optimism. Optimism is defined as to expect the best, to see the sun behind the clouds. And then we have people that are pessimistic, the pessimists. They're the people that see the cloud behind the sun. So they're always expecting the worst. And we know that when you're optimistic, research shows that you're often happier because there's more to be happy about. In fact, it even changes your brain. People who are optimistic have changes in a certain part of the brain called the orbital frontal cortex. And they actually can measure this now. But the term practical optimism is what we're going to talk about, because it's more than just being optimistic and expecting the best. It's also being realistic when we need to be. Now, the one thing we can say about pessimists is that they're realistic. You know, they know that the car is going to break down. They know that things are going to happen in your health. So they may buy insurance. They'll check the car. So in some ways, it's good to be a little bit realistic at times, pessimistic in some ways, you could say, because it tells you the truth of things, the reality. People who are a little bit pessimistic are often able to plan for things. They're rarely caught off guard, you know, emergencies and things. They're always prepared. And they can also take negative feedback. You know, if someone criticizes them, but in a positive feedback way, they can actually take that to heart and not be too bothered by it. So what we want to do is we want to combine a little bit of that realism with also optimism. Well, what I call practical optimism. Now, the practical optimist is someone who is positive. They expect the best in life, but they also realize that there's negative things, you know, and sometimes we have to fix those negative things about ourselves, maybe bad habits that we have, procrastination, other things in our life, and learn from our mistakes if we do make mistakes. And if there's something we can change, to learn how to accept it, how to embrace the difficulty in some ways. But at the same time, we are optimistic. We can handle setbacks in a positive way. We know that we have confidence, we have hope, and we have what's called resiliency. Resilient means that we can overcome problems and obstacles. Now, a lot of research has shown that people who are optimistic have better results in life. They have better health, for example, less cancer, fewer heart attacks. Business owners who are optimistic often do much better. Most businesses fail, but those who are optimistic in business have a better chance of succeeding. People who are optimistic also are more creative. Because they expect a better future, they can look toward creating new solutions for things. And most importantly, people who are optimistic are more motivated and persistent. Because they know that things will turn out well, they expect them to, they're going to plunge in and act instead of just waiting out of fear. Because many times people are paralyzed by fear, by worries. If I try this new career, this new job, I may fail. Or this new relationship, I may fail. But the optimist plunges right into it and say, well, I'm going to find out, you know, if this is going to succeed. I'm going to take my risk. I'm going to do it in a smart way. And at the same time, they're persistent. You know, if they have a dream to be a violinist, to be a writer, to be a teacher, to be a parent, to travel, whatever it is that they want to do in life, they persist at it to have a certain kind of career. They don't give up many times because they continue, because they believe they can make it. They believe they can succeed. They have that optimism. And interestingly enough, people who are optimistic often make better love partners, long-term romantic relationships. They usually look at the best in their partner, the positive sides. Now, we talked before about what's called the ratio of positivity to negativity. We know that in happy relationships, usually there's about a 5-to-6 ratio of positive to negative. So the spouse can say, you know, you're a wonderful lover, you're a great parent, you know, you're a great provider, but maybe you're a little messy around the house. And that's okay because you're starting with the positives and you're balancing it out. People who have bad relationships, who get divorced or who have what we call empty marriages, where there's no more love or intimacy, often have the opposite. They have more negatives than positives. So the romantic partner who's optimistic can often look at the best side of their partner and basically embrace who they are. Oftentimes, people who are optimistic do better in work, their work performance. They expect to do better. They work harder in school performance. And they often live longer lives. They've actually studied centenarians, those who have lived over 100 years. They find that many of those people are optimistic. They expect that things are going to get better. Maybe they have health setbacks or they lost loved ones, but they know that there's still something there for them. They may have a spiritual belief or faith system, and they're always looking for that silver lining, that good part of life, and it helps them live longer. They have less disease, and they're more likely to have longevity. Now, here's the key. Practical optimism, the idea that you're realistic but also optimistic, is a choice that you can make, a mental choice. Many times people don't realize that there is a choice, you know, especially pessimistic people, people who are, you know, always saying things are not going to work out, other people are against me, life is against me. They believe that they're victims of their circumstances. They cannot change. And as a result, they get tied into this negativistic thinking, the pessimism, that life is going to be terrible for them. On the other hand, the optimistic person realizes that their mindset can change their circumstances. You know, by having a more positive outlook, they can draw better people in their life, better circumstances, better situations. And they believe that they can grow daily. So if you want to be optimistic, think of yourself as growing daily, you know, becoming better, improving, whether it's your health, your mindset, your psychology, your relationships, everything about yourself. Now, the other thing is, how do we become more practically optimistic? You know, what are some of the tips? And this is something I really want to focus on now, is that there are actually certain tools we can use to become more optimistic. And again, there's so many benefits, you know, health, emotional state, even financial success. People who are optimistic make more money and they invest better. They're more intelligent in the risks. So the first thing that we need to look at is that negative feelings often overwhelm positive feelings or thoughts. Human beings are naturally drawn to the negative in many ways. Now, I have my engineer here, Reggie. Now, Reggie, you know, you're looking sharp today. You got a nice shirt on, colorful shirt. And I'm going to give you a bunch of positives, Reggie. I'm going to say that, you know, you're a wonderful engineer. You're a great guy. You're a wonderful friend. Thank you. Sharp dresser. You're smart. You're handsome. But you got smelly hands. Okay. Well, hopefully not that smelly. But so, Reggie, what's going to happen? As soon as I say that, what are you going to focus on?
My smelly hands.
The smelly hands, right? Okay. Hopefully you wash today.
Oh, yeah.
So even though I gave you like 8 or 9 positives, you're going to focus many times on the one negative, and human beings do that all the time. And, you know, their life can be going great, but they just focus on the one negative. So what we need to do is we need to, what I call, refuse the negative excitement of pessimism. Because many times it is kind of an excitement, you know, to complain about things. You know, poor me. Nobody cares about me, or people are against me, or I have bad luck. And then the more you complain about that, the worse you feel, and it becomes a negative spiral, what I call slipping down a slippery slope of negativity. So the more you complain, the worse it gets, and then you get into that mode. So we need to learn how to refuse the negative excitement. It is kind of an exciting feeling to be intense and to complain about things. People that gossip have the same feeling, but it's negative, right? It doesn't really produce anything. It's not healthy for you. But people get kind of addicted on that, you know, the poor me mentality. So we need to refuse that. The other thing we need to do to develop more of our optimism, and this is a big one, is to forgive yourself when the negative thought comes that you blew it, you know, the regret thought. And this is a really huge one. And in my book, The 3 Secrets of Happiness, I talk about that, that came out last year, about a psychiatrist who goes to the mountain to meet a monk, Tanaka, who teaches him the 3 Secrets of Happiness. Now, one of the secrets is self-forgiveness, because many times we can forgive other people, but to forgive ourselves, that is the hardest thing. So what we need to learn is that if we make a mistake or something that we think is a mistake, we need to forgive ourselves immediately. Because if we don't, we're going to keep repeating the same mistake because we're going to feel bad and weak that we made that mistake. For example, let's say you're on a diet, you know, you're losing some weight, but then there, in the refrigerator, there's a delicious pecan pie. Now, part of your mind, that a little negative side of your mind might say, hey, let me get that little piece of that pie, you know, that has that delicious flavor. And then you might try a little bit of it, and then you start eating more of it. You say, well, I already had this piece. Let me go get another piece. So pretty much you eat half the pie. And now that little part of your head says, wait a minute, you just blew your diet. You might as well enjoy the rest of the pie. So you end up eating the whole pie. But then the feelings kick in. Oh, no, I blew it. I'm a diet loser. You know, I'm never going to lose weight. And then as a result, you might say, well, I might as well just get some ice cream now and just top it off. So pretty soon you pretty much have gone that down that negative way because of regret, because of attacking yourself. Now, the positive way to do that is to basically forgive yourself. Okay, well, I did have some of the pie. I'm going to go now exercise and burn off those calories. I'm going to do something else to get myself back in shape. So you forgive yourself at the moment. You know, I didn't make a mistake, but I'm going to change. That's a huge thing, that you can, you know, not ride that slippery slope of negativity, but put yourself back on the positive track. The other thing that's also very important is to refocus your attention on the positive. Now, many times we get dragged into some negative aspects. We think of a failed relationship, a job opportunity that we didn't get, something in our life that went wrong. We didn't do well on some academic test if we're in school. And we focus on that, and we feel pain, we feel depressed, we feel regretful. And the key is that we need to refocus on the positive sides of things, but first give ourselves a little bit of a negativity time. So you can even say to yourself, okay, I'm going to be negative for the next 10 minutes. I'm going to complain and moan, and I'm even going to write it down in a journal. I'm going to keep a little journal here, and I'm going to write all the negative things that happened to me this week or maybe recently. And that's it. After those 10 minutes, I'm done with the negativity. And then I'm going to maybe write down all the positive things that's going on in my life, you know, the good things. And I'm going to focus on that, not just for 10 minutes, but for the rest of the day. So you start to reverse the time you invest in negativity. Because many times, most of our day is spent sometimes in negative things that happened to us, people that rejected us or treated us poorly or things that didn't work out. So we want to reverse that. We want to focus on the positive things, maybe our good relationships we have, our family. You might have an animal you care about, a child, or a project you're working on that excites you, or even a hobby, dancing or river rafting or whatever it might be. So something that really gives you that pleasure, you want to focus on that. And that's going to reverse the pessimism, the negativity side of things. Something else that also is very important, and we talk a lot about this a lot, is the power of gratefulness. Now, gratefulness has been studied recently in research psychology, and we found that people who are grateful and keep what's called a grateful journal, they write three things they're grateful for every day in a journal, have 30% less depression and 40% better sleep. So it actually improves their life significantly, even if they only do it for a short period of time. So you should start every morning with a gratefulness exercise. Think of several things you're grateful for. You know, I'm alive, I'm breathing, I have a roof over my head, if you do. I have family or friends. I have maybe a job or activity I enjoy. The sun is shining, the birds are whistling. Whatever it is you can think about, you know, be grateful for, it changes your mood. It transforms you from the pessimistic personality to the positive personality. Someone that says, life has good things to offer. You know, I'm enjoying something. Something good is coming into my life. That's the power of gratitude. So practice that on a daily basis. That's going to jumpstart your morning. You know, instead of having a cup of coffee, have a cup of gratitude, right? And you don't need any cream on it. It just comes in natural. Another great exercise I like to use is called the It's Cool game. Find the cool things, the good things, even in the negative, because the optimist is always doing that. Maybe a relationship ended, but now you say, well, I learned something from that. Maybe I'm going to find a better relationship. Or the job that you thought was so great and you're fired or you leave the job, but maybe there's something better for you. You can start a new business, a new career, even more exciting. So many times, each door that closes in our life, something that you consider maybe negative at the time, can turn into something even better, a better opportunity, more positive. And that's the optimist mindset, that when you have a setback, and we do realize that there are setbacks because we're practical about it, that we can take that and make something better out of it. Many of our great inventors and creators have often suffered a huge disappointment or a so-called failure, but they persisted until they found the solution. They found a new invention, a new way to do things. So that's the important thing, to look on the positive side of every negative. And you think about it, in many ways that is true. Many times things that we think are bad can have a good element. Once there was a very wealthy landowner. He had a lot of animals and horses. And one day, one of his prized horses, stallion, jumped over the fence and escaped. His foreman ran to him and said, "Sir, I have bad news. The horse that you really loved has escaped." Now, the owner of the property was a very wise man. He says, "Maybe it's bad news, but maybe it's good news." The next day, the horse came back that escaped and brought in a beautiful wild stallion that was very wonderful and beautiful. And the foreman again said to the owner, "Sir, this is amazing news. Your prized horse came back and brought in a beautiful wild stallion as well. That's wonderful news." And the owner again says, "Maybe it's good news, maybe it's bad news." Then the youngest son of the owner, his most beloved son, got on the horse and tried to break the wild horse that came in, but the horse threw him and he ended up breaking his leg. And now the foreman rushed to the owner and said, "Sir, I have terrible bad news. your son rode the horse, the new stallion, the wild stallion, and he was thrown and broke his leg. That's bad news. And the owner says, maybe it's bad news, but maybe it's good news. The next day, war was declared. All the young men in the village left, except for the son. And they were all killed in battle, except for the son. So again, what you may consider bad news may actually be good news if you look at it in a different way. There's always that silver lining, that positive aspect. So the optimist is always trying to find that. And often they do find it. Another interesting element here for developing optimism, and again, practical optimism, looking at both, you know, the challenges in life and also the good sides, is what we call act happy until you become happy. This is something we've talked about in the past, where that when you smile, you actually release certain brain chemicals that actually make you feel happier. And when you frown and when you slump over, you release other chemicals that make you feel depressed. So you often see that people who are depressed kind of like have their head down, they shuffle in a slow way. People that are often happy, you know, have a smiling kind of face. So what you need to do is kind of trick your brain a little bit. And what you can do is you can go into the mirror and practice every day. Start to laugh and smile, maybe even jump up and down and look like you're having a lot of fun. Now, some people may think you're a little strange, but it's okay because you're enjoying yourself and you're releasing those positive brain chemicals. The smiling and the laughing actually makes you feel happier, even though you may not be that happy to begin with. So you have to start, you act like you're happy and you start to become more happier. The other thing that's also important in developing an optimistic mindset is to be around people who are optimistic. I talk about what I call the high-level people, HLPs, which is not based on career or financial aspects, but it's based on the quality of the person's character. Are they compassionate? Are they kind-hearted? Are they patient, loving? And are they optimistic? Because many times we become the environment we're in terms of people that are around us. There's something called mood contagion in psychology, where we are infected by other people's moods. Have you ever walked in a room full of negative people that are complaining and bitter, and you start to kind of feel that negative energy? Or you walk into a room full of happy people, people that are optimistic and talking about the good things in life and their plans, and you can start to feel the same way. So many times it's important for you to associate with these more optimistic people so you can also match their energy and maybe even lead them in some ways. But in our society, we often have, and when I say our society, I mean Western society, or, you know, we have a lot of actually fans in many parts of the world. France, we're in one of the top markets there. India, also Latin America. In societies, nowadays, we have a lot of negative news. You know, you go on your tablet, your internet, immediately it pops up. You know, X number of people killed, or this scandal, or this big problem, and that can affect us psychologically. You know, we can start to see, well, wow, the world is coming to an end, and, you know, people are failing in many ways. So the key is to take what I call a fast from technology. Maybe shut off your computer for 4 hours, or even a day, if you can, your phone, except for important messages, of course. But don't be so involved in these news cycles that are so negative, that repeat the same thing over and over again, because it can affect you psychologically. Look at happy news. Maybe there's a puppy that was found somewhere, or a couple that fell in love after years apart. You know, there's also a lot of positive news too. So try to look at the positive news stories to develop your optimism, and don't look as much. Now, it's not that you want to put your head in the sand or become what we call a Pollyanna that only looks at the good things. We do recognize that there's suffering in the world and there's tragedy and there's a lot of problems. But at the same time, we realize that we can put our focus on the optimistic side of life. And by doing so, we can actually help more people. Because if we're depressed and if we're worrying about all these bad things, we're not going to have the energy or motivation to help other people or to be a good light for them. So by being more optimistic, we can actually contribute more to society. We can help more people. And the other thing we want to think about is constantly think of your energy as either expanding or contracting. And for example, you could be a person who's outgoing and cheerful and you know, positive, or you can be a person that's contracting, that they're more self-contained, maybe tight, fearful, maybe they avoid people because they're afraid of things happening, bad things happening. So you want to think of, for example, that you're emanating a light. Think of a light, a color, maybe blue or green. And this light may represent compassion or love. And you're shining it out to people every day. You're smiling more. You're interacting with people in a positive way. Maybe being a good listener. And you're becoming more intelligent. You're becoming compassionate. Maybe even better looking too. You know, because when you smile and stand up straight, your posture changes and people see that you're more attractive. You radiate something, a positive energy. And you are more patient. You know, all these different things that you can develop. You're growing every day, so your energy is expanding. And that's the idea. Think of yourself as growing every day and becoming better. And that takes away the fear, the negativity, the anxiety. Think of yourself as having better relationships, you know, with your spouse, with your loved ones, with your children, with your family members, with your friends, with your coworkers. Think of yourself as learning more about your business or career or passion or hobby that you love. Think of yourself as being happier, healthier. Every day something's improving. In fact, I want to give you guys right now something very interesting. Now, I don't really do this very often, but I'm going to give you a challenge, a Dr. Alex challenge, which I'm going to call the Optimism 30-Day Challenge. Okay, I hope everyone out there is ready for it. Reggie, you're nodding your head. I think you're ready for it too.
I'm ready.
Okay. And what we're going to do here is I'm going to give you this challenge for the next 30 days. I want you to pick one unattainable goal in your life. Unattainable means that you think you can't really do it and it's out of your reach, but something you really want. And I want you to come up with three things that you're actually going to do toward this unattainable goal, this impossible goal that may actually be possible if you have the optimism. You might want to climb a mountain, write a book, have a child or adopt a child, get married, travel the world, play professional sports, invent something, start your own show, you know, radio, television, transform the way you look, your physical appearance, have a new social circle. Whatever it is that you really have that, you know, think of something unattainable that you don't even think you can do, but you are going to take three steps toward it. Reggie, can you think of something right now, something unattainable in some ways, but you really want this?
Going on a date?
I like that. That was kind of a nice way to put it. Okay, on a date. I assume with a nice lady or something, right?
Yes, okay. Preferably.
That's good. Well, I think we're going to have a lot of listeners call in, so that might help, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, that would be nice. So you want to maybe develop a relationship, and you think it's unattainable because, I guess, for what reason?
I don't know. It's a combination of factors. Like, I feel like a lot of time, either what's it called, they're not interested or they have a boyfriend. You know, they're interested but have a boyfriend.
Okay.
It's weird. That seems to be my
that's your issue.
Goal in life. Yeah,
okay.
My thing in life.
Okay. Unavailable women. And of course, I know you're a little bit shy guy and, you know, you come from a different background.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But you definitely want to, I guess, reach out. Mm-hmm. So let's do that. Okay. So that's your goal. So you want to do three steps for that. For example, if it's to find someone in a relationship, you might want to research maybe a dating site perhaps, or maybe find a coach that can help you with that, or maybe talk to some friends that know people that are single. If you want to climb a mountain or write a book, you know, you might go to the online search, or maybe go to the library and find a book about it, or talk to people that have done that, you know, a mentor, someone that has done this, whatever it is you want to do. Bake a cake or start your own business, adopt a child, travel the world. Whatever it is, and you may think, play professional sports, you know, something that you think is impossible in some ways, but maybe it's not. You don't know until you really investigate it and look into your abilities and try it. So, Reggie, I want you to have a date in 30 days, okay, with a nice, nice person, okay, and you're going to report back to me. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's hope for the best.
Yeah, there we go. Hope for the best. And even still, expect the best. See, that's even better. Because honestly, hope can also be limiting sometimes. People hope, but they don't take action toward their dream.
Yeah.
You see, and they just look at it as a hope. But we wanted to actually to succeed. So let's say you're going to take steps toward your goal. You're going to have that belief you can accomplish it, and you're going to persevere. Okay, that's the power of optimism. So I really invite you to this 30-day challenge. Whatever it is your passion is, whatever it is your goal that you think you can't do it, you're not smart enough, you don't have enough money, you're too old, you're too young, whatever negative, pessimistic thoughts come into your head, people have told you you can't do it, tell yourself, wait a minute, I really want this. You know, this is something that I really desire. I'm going to maintain an optimistic mindset for the next 30 days. No matter what my inner mind is telling me, my inner thoughts, no matter what other people tell me, who are maybe negative people as well, I'm going to pursue this because this is my dream, and I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to believe that the world has greatness to offer me, because I want to be great as well. So again, this has been Love University. I anticipate and I expect that this has been something valuable for you to learn and that you will apply it. And I definitely want to hear your feedback on this. So email us at lovetype4u@aol.com. That's LOVETYPE, the number 4, letter U at AOL.com. Look us up on the website. loveuniversity.love. We have our blog and other interesting things there. And you can also call us at 310-226-8090. If you want to be a guest on the show, or if you have an interesting topic, you can just even email us the topic. even a question. You have something you want to ask me, I can answer it on the air. And anything that you want to find out, we can definitely help you with. Because Love University is really about you. It's about you becoming the best you can be, growing, helping other people, and building a community of greatness. And we want to definitely start doing some more of our workshops and seminars. We put those on hold for a little bit as we are building the show. But we want to get together with you and have a group where we can actually network with love and positivity. So stay tuned for that. And until next time, this is Dr. Alex Avila. Love University. Put away your pens and pencils. And we'll see you next time.